what this particular chapter deals with, an issue that needs to be dealt with. It speaks in the physical, but it applies in the spiritual. Thirst and hunger. Thirst and hunger. Involved in that particular thought, of course, there's a number of points that can be made, and I've done my best to get the front and the back of a page. But I think that every one of them are pertinent to what I have to say. Let's pray and we'll read Isaiah chapter 55. Father, I pray in that name, the glorious name of Jesus Christ, that you'll bless us today as we read the Word, preach the message. Not only bless us, but encourage the hearts and lives of the folks and magnify the name of Jesus Christ. For I pray in His name. Amen. It said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy milk or wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and ye labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God. And for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And thus we have before us a scene of hunger and thirst and the supply of that need, of that hunger and that thirst. Thirst is a rather unusual thing, and hunger is too. And sometimes there just is a craving that comes on us and doesn't really have behind it starvation or the need as it is presented in this particular chapter. The other day as we were traveling, for some reason or another, there's a certain bar of candy that I just really got to craving. I told Reese, I said, you're going to have to stop and let me get a bar of this candy. And I had to look all over that store before I found it. But she finally found it for me. I guess she got tired of waiting. But nonetheless, oftentimes we understand and appreciate hunger. And we understand thirst to a degree. You know, thirst is a strange thing. Some folks get thirsty and never pay it much mind. And others are very intense about this matter of thirst. Times do change. What used to be a means of trying to have just a cool drink of water has changed through the years. We have thermos jugs now. As I grew up, you had an old glass gallon jug with a worn out leg of a pair of jeans or a toe sack sewed around it. But there would come a time whenever thirst would come on you and you began to look for that supply. We have in this particular chapter that which we really stand in need of. And then there is the matter of hunger. Whether you realize it or not, there's a lot of the world today that goes hungry. When we went over into Liberia, West Africa, back probably over 20 years ago now, it was my joy and my privilege to get to be a part of an 8-day meeting. But I felt compelled to tell the man that was in charge and had set up the whole thing that I sure wouldn't feel well at all about it if I were eating and other folks going hungry. Now, I made up my mind that out of just liking to fish in pretty water, there was a river that ran right by this particular village where I was, and it was called the Bafu River. In the Kru tongue, that means beautiful. And it was beautiful water. And then there was the Baffu Bay, or the beautiful bay. But those folks, whenever we said amen and dismissed the services, they would be out throwing a net, and it wasn't just for sport. They were actually looking for something to eat. And I felt that it would be wrong for me as a preacher to be there, and they did. They saw to it that we had the best that they had. And for them to do without, and I feel like some of them did. The fellow said, oh no, said they're eating plenty. Well, it was hard to just totally believe that, because this world does much of it go to bed hungry at night. So we have hunger and we have thirst, but also in this same scene is a place that you actually can go to and you can buy without money and without price. Now, I said you could. I didn't say that God did. God paid well for our souls. Preached a message some time ago now. What's a sinner worth? Not worth much to me, but he's worth a whole lot to God. But there is a place that a hungry soul or a thirsty soul can go to without any price to them, pick up that which they have need of. And we're invited to come to the Lord and to come to that particular place of supply. Then he asked a very serious question. Why would you labor then for that which does not satisfy? The person that really made a difference in my life, and if you're at peace with God in your life, it's through Jesus Christ. Why would you labor for anything else then? Why would you labor for the things of this world? I will never forget what a multimillionaire said as they interviewed him on television up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. They said or asked him the question, do you have a hobby? He said, no. Then they asked him what he did. He said, I'm always busy trying to make another million. Laboring for that which will not satisfy. Why would we do that when we have the abundant supply before us and available to us? The Bible invites us to delight our souls in the Lord. This comes under the heading of you're hungry and thirsty. But then the Lord said, hear and come unto me. Do you realize that there's but one invitation really in the Bible that's worthwhile? And that's Jesus Christ and Him alone. We must hear before we can believe. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And only the Lord satisfies. And God pledges himself to save those that come to him. In our text, we find that God said he would deal and deal favorably and even make a sure covenant with us, which is to say, I'll guarantee your salvation today. The third thing I see in our text today is God's time limit. It said, seek the Lord while he may be found. I'm persuaded that to this nation or any nation that forgets God, that we can come to the place that there will not be anybody to answer prayer, even though there's a cry goes out. Three times in the book of Psalms, there's an invitation given the first time that we really find it and notice it in a proper context is that folks may cry, but there'll be nobody to hear. Do you realize that, again, just in passing, that it takes the Lord for a person to be saved? We don't do it on our own. But seek the Lord while he may be found. Then the Lord said through the psalmist of old, you'll call, but I won't even hear you. In other words, there's a time frame and a limit to the opportunities that are ours, and we dare not pass it by because we sure don't want to leave this life without the thirst being met and the hunger being satisfied. But we need to seek him while he can be found. We need to call when he's near at hand. Then God says a strange thing, and yet it's not strange. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Whether we want to own up to it or not, God knows the end from the beginning. Else he wouldn't be God. When this whole thing started, the Lord knew where it ended. I didn't know. The prophets didn't necessarily know. But the Lord knew. And he spoke in the book of Daniel of a time whenever there would be a stone cut out without hands. And every other god that had ever existed in every empire would be gone during that time. But the Bible said that would be an everlasting kingdom. The same one who knows the end from the beginning will bring it to pass. Then in verse 11, he speaks of his word being blessed. One thing I learned early in my Christian experience, and I wasn't saved until I was about 27 years of age. But I did come to the realization that God would bless His Word. That He could take care of His Word. He said, my word that goeth forth, it'll accomplish that which I intended that it accomplish. Most preachers that are worth their salt would give up if they didn't believe that God would bless. There's one thing that I came to the conclusion to early in my Christian experience was that I couldn't do it on my own. It's going to take the Lord to do the work in my life. But God's word that goes forth, it'll accomplish something. I spoke of going over to Liberia, West Africa years ago. But I'll never forget the face of the man that came one night. A priest on a strange subject, I guess, for the folks there, but they picked up that message. And by the way, this is the only training they got. I have been privileged to attend some of the best Bible schools in the world, as far as I'm concerned. But this man came forward at the end of the service at the invitation. And he looked me right in the eye and said, I don't want to die like a fool. God's Word. I could have traveled all the way around the world, but I went at least halfway around the world to bring God's Word. But do you think I could make it produce life? No. But God can make it produce life. Do something for folks. It shall accomplish that which God has planned that it be sent for. I want to deal with a few points here and a few thoughts. First of all, God's plan of payment. I dare not ask how many folks have had more month than they had money. That seems to kind of go with life. That there was always a place to spend the money. How to get a hold of it was a different story. But God has a unique plan. He has a paid up plan. Paid in full. If God were to print anything on our body and on our face in particular, I think you'd find these words, paid in full. Paid in full. God has a plan. And it's a place called Calvary. Outside the city of Jerusalem. To the natural man, it's a horrible scene. To a Christian, it's an expression of love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Nobody else could go to Calvary. Joseph, who was even called upon to bear the cross for a time and a ways, could add nothing to it. But when they nailed Jesus Christ to the cross, you could say it's paid in full. Sweetest words. As he said, it's finished. Paid in full. Now, it's been my privilege to see a few things paid in full, but I, like you, have always had that desire, and there'd be a certain thing that I just feel like I couldn't live without. And had to go get it somehow. But to that hungry soul, to that thirsty soul, it's paid in full. Now, you didn't pay it. You couldn't pay it. But Jesus Christ can pay it. For John said it a long time before he went to Calvary. Really. I mean, in the sense of our measurement of time, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Final thought this morning. What can you buy? If you come to this place, in verse 2, you can buy that which satisfies. Not anything like being a Christian, folks. Just satisfies. For some reason or other, you fix certain events in your mind. And I remember just as a very young man, standing by an old metal gate, and one of the haunting questions was, why am I here? I had no answer to that. There wasn't any way that I could justify being here. But when Jesus Christ saved my soul, He satisfied. He satisfied. You can buy satisfaction at Calvary. God will even give you life in verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. God will give life. What I thought, as Paul said, was life, I found to be unto death. God had to give life. So a person can find life. Verse 6, you can find the person of God. Now, I'm not being presumptuous about this, but I want to say that we can know God. Just the privilege of being one of those that comes to the Lord through, or to God through Jesus Christ, His Son. We can know the person of God. Verse 12, you can know peace. In verses 12 and 13, you can know joy. and be satisfied. Let's stand together. Doug, if you and the musicians will come, prepare the invitation number, I'll pray with the rest. Father, I'm grateful for the privilege that's mine to open this book and read from it and preach the truth here today. And I'll trust that you'll meet the need in every heart and life, for I pray in the name, again, that is a precious name, above every name, Jesus Christ.